Congregation, I think one of the great things about holidays, and we've got some people on holiday with us this evening, Pete's sister and brother-in-law, one of the great things about holidays is seeing people that we haven't seen for a long time, and that'd be true of you as well. And perhaps that's true of you children as well when you have holidays. Perhaps you get to see some of your cousins who live interstate or overseas. We meet up with family and friends. We enjoy spending time together. Throughout the rest of the year, you probably still keep in touch. You used to write letters. These days you write an email or you Skype one another. You have phone calls. And those things are good, aren't they? They're good to be able to do, but they're not as good as actually being there, being together. I want to ask the question, well, what about our seeing Jesus? Not just our family or friends, but seeing Jesus. Well, of course, we don't see Jesus with our physical eyes, do we? We see Jesus through the eyes of the Bible. As we focus our attention in the coming weeks on Jesus' death at Calvary, we in a sense see Jesus. We see him in a special way. We're reminded that Jesus was born to die and then also to dwell with us and to save us. But although seeing Jesus through the eyes of the Bible is good, and it is good, there is something better. Because just as letters and phone calls and emails and Skypes are no substitute for the joy of being able to spend time together, so too our seeing Jesus through the eyes of the Bible is no substitute for being able to see him face to face. Now, text this evening calls us to anticipate seeing Jesus. Our text calls us to long for this, to desire it deeply, to look forward to it eagerly. And there are two magnificent realities this should bring to our minds. And the first of those is that one day we will be with Jesus. One day we will be with Jesus. We know this is true and we know this will happen because that is what Jesus prays for us in these words. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. When Jesus prays that we would be with him, he's not praying that his disciples would be with him where he is right that very moment that he's praying. Because his disciples back then were present with him already. And Jesus is clearly not praying for us to travel back in time to be with him back then. Rather, Jesus is praying this prayer in anticipation of what's to come, anticipation of his return to heaven. And Jesus is praying that we may join him there, that we may be with him, that we may be with Jesus. Back in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, Jesus was teaching his disciples how he must leave them. How he must leave them. And even though they would be sad at that reality, they must not be troubled. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Friends, heaven is not just a place where those who love Jesus go when our earthly life draws to a close. It's not just a temporary holding cell for us to wait for better things. Even though God will renew the world and it's in the new creation and not in heaven that we will live for all eternity. Heaven is more than those things. Heaven is the beginning of being with Jesus forever. And Jesus wants you to be there. He prays for you in this prayer that you might be there. I want to ask you this evening, is that something you look forward to with anticipation, with eagerness, with longing? Or is your heart anchored or set, caught on the things that are around you? I can remember before I was married, thinking to myself, I hope Jesus doesn't return quite yet. I want to get married first. Lord, please let me enjoy married life with Lydia, and then you can come again. And my own example is not a sign of great maturity on my part, but that's where I was. That's who I was. I was torn between two things, between life which can be good and life with Jesus which is better by far. And not yet having those two things in the proper balance, my heart was not yet captured with a deep desire to be satisfied supremely in God. See, friends, we were made to find ultimate satisfaction in God, not in the people or the things around us. And yes, those things bring us joy in our lives, and we thank God for the way in which the people around us and the good things we enjoy in this life bring us joy. But God desires to be our ultimate joy, that we would be satisfied in Him, that we would deeply desire Him, experience ultimate richness in knowing Him. Do you long to be with Jesus where He is? Perhaps you are older this evening and you can sense in your bones that life is drawing to a close. Your body doesn't work quite the way it once did. Perhaps life is hard for you. The struggles are not getting any easier. My friend, soon you will be with Jesus. There's not much longer to wait in the context of your life. And it is right for you to feel this way, to long for that. It's very right to feel that way. Because that's what Jesus is praying for you. He wants you to be with Him. And soon you will. Perhaps you're younger this evening, and the challenge for you is a different challenge because your body's still working. Perhaps you're in the prime of life. Everything may be going well for you. You're pleased with life as you know it. And yet you also have a task to do to cultivate in your heart a desire to be with Jesus. To work hard to battle against anything else that would seek to captivate your heart. It's the sign of an idol. And desire to be satisfied and to find your deepest satisfaction in life in Jesus. Friends, we're to anticipate being with Jesus as we come around the Lord's table again this evening as well. So we eat and drink together as we share fellowship communion, not only with each other, but with the Lord Himself. And we anticipate the day when our faith will become sight, when we will see Him face to face. And it's in this sense that the Lord's Supper should not cause us to turn inward with morbid introspection. This is not a time for sackcloth and ashes, but a time to reflect for reflection that leads to deep joy. As we eat and drink, we should anticipate being with Jesus and delight in that knowledge. Not only delight, but also be encouraged, because as we come around the table, if you come in true faith, if you're welcome at this table, then you can have confidence that you will be welcome also at the Lord's table in heaven. And we welcome all who profess faith in Jesus Christ and desire to love and serve Him, to join us. On that note, young people, you should know, I think you already know, that profession of faith is not a ticket to heaven. You are already part of God's family through your baptism. And if you believe in Jesus and you want to serve Him, then you will be with Jesus. You will be with Jesus. Also, you have a love for Him, a desire to serve Him. That's a great thing. That's something we want to encourage in you and see grow to fan into flame and grow to full fruition. One day, congregation, we will be with Jesus. What an encouraging thought to dwell on. There's something even greater here than being with Jesus. Is that possible? So there's something even greater, I think, than being with Jesus. And we see that here in the second part to Jesus' prayer. And that is that one day we will see Jesus' glory. I guess the two go hand in hand. We can't see Jesus' glory in that complete way unless we are with him. But better than just being with him is that we might see his glory. Jesus prays, "I want those you have given me to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." What will it be like for us to see Jesus in all his glory? What will that be like? Some time ago at a Crossroad Bible Institute, that's the Bible studies for those who are in prison, a CBI training seminar, I saw an interview with an American woman. She was on death row. In fact, she was put to death. She was executed some 3 weeks after the interview was recorded. And she was telling us that someone once asked her what she would do when she saw Jesus for the first time. I guess the thing on death row, you might think about this a little bit more because you actually have a date. Most of us, we don't have a date. We know it will be sometime in the future. Maybe soon, it may be far away. She had a date for when she would be seeing Jesus. And they said, "Well, what will you do?" And she said, "Oh, when I see Jesus, I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to wrap my arms around him." The other person said, "No, you're not." She's like, "What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not going to do that? That's what I'm going. I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to wrap my arms around him. I'm going to be so pleased to be there." Your friend said, no, you're not. When you see Jesus, you are going to be so blown away by his glory that you will spend the first 1,000 years flat on your face in worship and awe. And after that 1,000 years, you might lift your head up and catch a glimpse of Jesus, and then you'll be flat on your face again for another 1,000 years. Not only to be with Jesus, it's not what we long for. We long to see his glory. And friends, how great that will be. And we get to experience a taste of Jesus' glory already in many different ways. One of those ways we get to experience a taste, a small snippet of Jesus' glory is in creation. We read in Psalm 19 before, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. For just as we exist to magnify God's glory, so creation also exists to magnify the glory of God. That idea of magnification, you may find it helpful to think of in this way. There are two different ways that things can be magnified. You can magnify something with magnifying glass. You can magnify something with binoculars or with a telescope. And which of these two ways is creation magnifying God's glory? Well, what's the difference between them? They both magnify things, don't they? But they magnify in different ways. A magnifying glass makes small things look bigger than they actually are, doesn't it? Binoculars make things that look small more the size that they really are. So in which of these ways is creation magnifying God's glory? Our lives and all creation magnify the glory of God, but not like the magnifying glass, of course. It's not that God's glory is so small that we need a magnifying glass to make it look bigger than it really is. It's like binoculars, like a telescope, because God's glory is so great and we want to see it. We want to see it as big as we can, as true to life as we can. We can get a glimpse of God's glory already in creation. But you've seen a glimpse of God's glory in creation and the power and magnificence of the sea. Perhaps you've taken the ferry across to Tasmania on holiday one day and you've stood on the deck and you're going overnight, but before light's fallen, you've stood on the deck and you've just looked and gazed out into the distance. Have you ever been at the beach and just tried to imagine how vast the ocean is, just how much volume of water there is? Because not only can the ocean, not only does it extend further than you can possibly see, but then think about how deep it goes. And the power of the waves and the swell and the current. The Bible tells us that God can knock it all around just with the slightest movement of his little toe. How great is God's glory? The glory of the heavens. Perhaps you've left the lights of the bustling Toowoomban metropolis behind one night, and you've gone out into the bush and you've lain there on your back looking up at the night sky. And you've wondered to yourself, you've wondered, tried to figure out just how big is everything. We're just a tiny planet in a small solar system with a minor sun, a minor star. How many stars do you think might be in our galaxy? Anyone got any ideas? How many stars might there be in our galaxy? Billions? Billions is a little bit too much, Mr. Westendorp. I was once asked that question, and I answered in a different way. I fell far short of the reality. 100 million. 100 million stars in our galaxy. How many galaxies in the universe? Well, around a million or so. And the Hubble telescope is probably discovering more and more. A million galaxies, each filled with 100 million stars. The universe is so vast, it's so vast we can barely imagine what it's like, but God holds it all in his hand. How great is his glory? Do you stop and look as you go about in the world? Do you stop and think and walk, go for a walk somewhere and just marvel at the detail? The God who doesn't just throw all the big stuff into place, but the God who's involved in the intricacy of microscopic design. You see the spider spinning her web and it glistens with the dew and it looks glorious. Friends, that's the glory of God expressed in his creation. We have been made to delight in the glory of God. So one of the reasons God reveals a glimpse of his glory in creation, so that we could develop a taste for God, a taste for his glory, that we might become addicted, if you like, addicted to marveling at his glory. And then one day we'll see Jesus. And will 1,000 years be long enough for us to be on our faces? Congregation, in the same way as we might cultivate different tastes and many other tastes in this life, we are here on this earth to cultivate a taste for God, a hungering for God, a life which is deeply satisfied in him. You could think of it this way, perhaps. When a couple are going to get married, they often take pre-marriage classes, don't they? Why do they do that? Well, at least one of the reasons they do, perhaps an overall broad-arching reason, is so that their marriage may be even more glorious than it would have been otherwise. And so we too should be preparing to delight in Jesus so that our seeing him may be more glorious as well. We ought to be cultivating a taste for God, a hungering for God, a deep desire to be satisfied in him. As we eat and drink around the table this evening, we reflect on Jesus' glory, the glory of a crucified Savior, the glory of a servant king, the glory of the one through whom all things were made. The one of whom creation still speaks. One day we will be with Jesus. We will see him face to face, and we will see him in all his glory. Are you making yourself ready for that day? Cultivate a desire in your heart for God. Find deep and lasting satisfaction in him, and you will be ready. And you will see God's glory. Amen. Let's pray.